Hey there. Ever feel like you just need a break from the day-to-day of work, put on that out of office, and be alongside peers learning from fellow nonprofits and industry experts on what they see working when it comes to fundraising, marketing, growing a monthly giving program, retention, everything that encompasses what you do? Well, if so, I have two events for you to mark down. June 4th and 5th is Donor Perfect's Community Conference Spark. It is for any fundraiser wanting to excel in donor management, program innovation, community engagement, and organizational growth, and it is free. So click the link in the show notes to register. And then an event that I have attended 3 years in a row is the NEO Summit, combining practical, actionable, and very data-informed content with also this really electric and immersive atmosphere. The NEO Summit is more than just a conference. It is a really fun and great place to get away from your desk and innovate your fundraising and accelerate your impact. So you can join hundreds of your fellow nonprofit professionals in Indianapolis in September on the 18th and 19th, and you can save $600 on your ticket right here. It is the lowest price available anywhere. So click the link in the show notes for both of these events. They are incredible. They put on an incredible speaker presentation, all tons of great resources for you. Invest in yourself and the growth of your organization by attending these two phenomenal events.
Within the span of, you know, a few months of launching this campaign, we really were able to get them an incredible amount of applications because we changed the way that people apply. What we found when we did an audit was that people were actually dropping off in the process. So it was a funnel problem. The funnel was not built out and it wasn't targeting and keeping people in the funnel. They were getting discouraged because it was a lengthy recruitment process. So we found a way to change the recruitment process, improve it, and they received over 2,000 applications.
Hey there, you're listening to the Missions to Movements podcast, and I'm your host, Dana Snyder, digital strategist for nonprofits and founder and CEO of Positive Equation. This show highlights the digital strategies of organizations making a positive impact in the world. Ready to learn the latest trends, actionable tips, and the real stories from behind the feed? Let's transform your mission into a movement. Hello, drumroll please. Happy Wednesday. If you're listening to this live, it is another Missions to Movements episode, and I'm bringing on another female entrepreneur onto the show today who specializes in social media to make a social impact. And I am so excited for you all to meet good friend of mine, Francesca Orso Marso. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Dana, for having me. I love the intro and everything.
Of course. So I want to jump right into conversation. You decided to start your own social media agency and you do so much more than social media, FMN Creative. What made you decide to start your own company?
Oh my gosh. It was honestly just a series of fortunate events. I thought I was going to go into music my whole life, my whole career. And I thought I was going to be a songwriter.
Wow.
I know. I don't even know if I ever told you that in the time of
my
life. But it was so funny because every music opportunity I had, I did the marketing for. And my senior year of college, I ended up having to transfer home. I was going to school right outside of Nashville for songwriting and music business. And basically came home my senior year of college and they were like, hey, we can't give you a degree in music and songwriting, but your whole career, you've studied marketing and entrepreneurship. Do you want to like focus on this and then go into music? I'm like, sure, why not? So I basically, you know, all my career ambitions kind of flipped when I was a senior in college. And when I got out, I thought I was going to move to Nashville and had an internship. And basically they asked me towards the end of my internship, they're like, so you need to pick what side of the desk you want to sit on. Like, what do you mean? They're like, do you want to be a creative or do you want to be an executive? Because people here, you can't be both. And I just have this Oprah aha boohoo moment. I need to figure out, I guess just the way I've always been wired was creativity, but in the structure of business. So I always thought, you know, music, connection, audience. So I always just went into, just naturally went into social media. Just every pathway, I kind of got stuck with that role. And when I got out of college, it was so crazy because I had this point in the road of, I got hired in an agency to basically do what I do now. And they never grew in that direction. They stayed more traditional. And at the same time, I had family, friends calling me saying, hey, can you figure out this thing called Facebook for us? And she just so happened to run a nonprofit and trusted me, little old 22-year-old me, to figure out how to use social media for all of these organizations that she and programs that she was starting. So I got in at a time where it was just a magical thing to start.
I think we both were entering our careers around the same time because that was a very similar, like, social story to what happened to me too. And since then, so explain, within your agency, what do you do now? Like, what is most of your work encompass?
Yeah, when I first started, like my early days, it was all copywriting and social media management. And at the time, you know, Facebook and Twitter could move the needle. And I got in when it really became pay to play. So I literally was learning ads as these ad products were being developed and became really specialized in how do you turn a click into a customer? Or for a nonprofit, how do I get a click and turn it into a donor? So I really fortunately developed skill sets that were more than just how do I get an ad in a newsfeed? It was once you actually click through, where does that go? What is that experience like? So there was quite a lot that happened. But right now, today, I could say that here at FMN Creative, we're a full service social media agency because it's social media advertising, management, strategy, and training, but it's everything that comes beyond that. And through the years, I personally fell in love with nonprofits. So needless to say, I made everybody who's worked with me fall in love with nonprofits. And when I really look back at what we've done, it's actually 8 years this month. I know we're recording this a little bit ahead of time. Thank you. So it's 8 years that we've fully been out there in business, in the marketplace, and we've grown. And, you know, our needs really shift based on what our client needs. Because we don't want to just stop at a newsfeed. It's everything that comes behind the feed.
Yes, which is so powerful and so important. And that's a big part of what we're going to talk about today with your case study with Upstate Cerebral Palsy. And this is such a big case study that you worked on with incredible results. And I just want to like flip it to the end real quick for where you guys got to. And then I want to break down how it all happened if we can. What happened? What was the challenge? And then what was the result? And then I want to go through everything that you did to make that happen.
Absolutely. Well, let's start by saying COVID happened. this was like the little campaign that could, but initially the client came to us to say, hey, we need to like talk to the community. We really want to invest in hiring and brand awareness and recruitment, but can you help us? Really, it was just a very broad ask. And it's so funny because literally the contract got signed like a day before New York State went on the massive shutdown.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. If anybody's familiar with January and February 2020, you know that things hit the fan. And by March, New York State went on a spending freeze. So we're actually a certified woman-owned business and certified with New York State and the federal government. So a lot of our income is reliant on these contracts. Come to find out, when New York State went on a spending freeze, those contracts were not able to be executed that we had signed on. So everything was frozen. And I was like, okay, God, this is funny. This was fun. Maybe I'll go into music. Like I had these crazy thoughts that this was just the end of my road.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I committed to, you know, Upstate Cerebral Palsy to do this. And because of COVID, you know, they're going to probably have to go a different direction. But what actually happened was they are a human services organization, nonprofit. And because of COVID, their recruitment needs just kind of really hit ceiling. And they're like, well, what we thought we had to do, we kind of have to 10x that. So help us. But now your main mission is to help us recruit for these positions because they actually needed to staff full-fledged homes that had COVID sick patients. They had to change the way that they were teaching. You know, teaching became online. And so we really had to recruit for these high-level positions, such as a special education teacher, a BCBA specialist, like very niche positions.
So it turned into a career recruitment campaign.
Extravaganza. Everything, all things, like, and they wanted to not only just recruit to the Central New York area, they wanted us to go for certain job titles, like nationwide, okay, to find the best of the best.
Amazing. Okay, so that was a challenge. And then where did you end up? What ended up happening?
What ended up happening, which is knock on wood, all went very well. We, within the span of, you know, a few months of launching this campaign, we really were able to get them an incredible amount of applications because we changed the way that people apply. What we found when we did an audit was that people were actually dropping off in the process. So it was a funnel problem. The funnel was not built out and it wasn't targeting and keeping people in the funnel. They were getting discouraged because it was a lengthy recruitment process. So we found a way to change the recruitment process, improve it, and they received over 2,000 applications.
Wow.
In a short time span. Yeah. So we were very pleased. But with that said, like, tons of KPIs to dive into. I don't know kind of where you want me to start because I can go deep with this client.
Yeah. So you had 2,000 applications. Did they end up filling the roles that they needed to? Like, were they qualified applicants?
Absolutely. I think that, honestly, it's such a large organization. We only know so much. But from what I understood, you know, we were told when certain positions were closed and certain positions were evergreen. They're like, we're growing. So keep them coming. As long as the leads and the quality is good, keep them coming. But we'd get calls to be like, hey, we're great on this position. Turn it off. We're done. So we really had a very two-sided strategy. One was to build awareness and put the brand out there, get the community involved, you know, knowing what they're up to. The other side was strategically market for these individual positions.
Got it. Okay.
It flipped a lot on its head with what we all know about social media advertising, because we really had to lean into targeting and platform-specific strategies for this in particular.
And this is a hiring and doing hiring recruitment. I talked to another organization recently that had a similar struggle of trying to find qualified applicants. So I think this can be applicable to so many people. What did they have in place? You talked about changing their funnel. What did it look like before?
Absolutely. So the transformation, I would say, we started by auditing everything. My approach when I do marketing for anyone is show me what it looks like to your audience currently and where are your pain points? Literally, one of our questions is, what keeps your audience up at night and what keeps you up at night? What is broken? So we get into some Barbara Walters very deep intrinsic conversations just for marketing, but it works. And what we found was that they were using a tool called UltiPro. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's very commonly used in large organizations to do recruitment. Phenomenal tool for HR staff. But for marketing purposes, it's discouraging because you can't put trackers, you can't put pixels. If somebody drops off in the middle of their application, there was no way to know. And again, I'm going back 4 years now, 3-4 years. So no offense to UltiPro, it could still be great these days. But back then, we couldn't do what we needed to do to track where people died off in the process.
That's so important.
Exactly. And I think nowadays, how many people are using their phones to apply for jobs?
Yep.
So you can't go into something with the mindset of, I'm going to design a beautiful website that only works on a desktop when you have 20 minutes to set aside and upload your resume. You really need to do something that's quick, that turns over, and that can be done when somebody drops their kid off at school and they're sitting in the parking lot or something.
Yes.
So we just needed to find a way to make this accessible and make it very marketable. How can we get an ad and turn a click into an application, essentially?
What were the things that you were able to change on the back end of the funnel? And then I want to get into the awareness part, which is the digital strategy that drove people there in the first place. Like, you have to fix where you're leading people to. What were you able to adjust in that process to make that better?
So we started by doing like a light version of the application because we're like, okay, you have to date someone before you marry them. how can you guys allow yourself to date these applicants, let them get warmed up, let them understand the culture, then kind of move them on forward if their skill set aligns. So what we did is we actually built them a custom website that was actually separate. They had some internal things that they didn't like about their current web structure. So they're like, can we just separate this out totally? We want a whole different web structure.
Right.
And we'll put a link on the website, but we want a specific URL that you guys can use for the campaign. So really, it was like a marketer's dream. They kind of opened the gates for us to run with. And we built a funnel. We built a one page, what you and I would equate to like a sales page, but picture if the sales yep. page was selling job positions. And basically, it walked the applicant through, like, what is life like at this organization? What is the impact you're going to make? And then what we were selling was like an array of job titles. So in descriptions and these little job cards that we created on the back end. But what we did cool. was, yeah, so once you started to apply, we would get your, you know, an opt-in. You'd get your name, you'd get your email address, a phone number, and maybe the position that you were interested in. That would automatically go to a recruiter. And then on the back end, you'd get like a video sales letter. You'd get a thank you from the recruiter.
Oh my gosh, I love this.
We had fun. I mean, thank God that this organization trusted me to really have fun, but it really put into play all the little things that you and I have come to know of what works on social, but applying it for an enterprise level nonprofit. So yes. it was interesting, but it was fun because we had to like not only do all these things, but we had to execute the strategy that we were creating. So I had to pull in a videography team mid-COVID. So we went from planning these formal shoots. Like we had this great idea of building a mosaic, like having each employee kind of in that position we were spotlighting, talking about these impact moments that they had like during their career, and then taking a little piece of like an image and then putting it on a board. And over the course of the story, it would form the logo on the board.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, like it's not like the most original thing that's out there, but it's fun to do. Well, with COVID, it was impossible. We couldn't do it because of COVID restrictions. So we had to find a way to actually film these people outdoors. We were wearing masks and gloves and cleaning and at safe distances. I mean, New York State was on hold. Everything about this project shouldn't have been, but we were able to kind of bend, you know, like play within the rules and stay outside. And then it made it interesting to actually tell the stories of the positions. Like, for example, we were recruiting for special education teachers. And we were like, how are you actually teaching? How we're recording this podcast is how we had to record teachers on Zoom teaching their students.
Yeah, because our job that we were being hired for was going to be tremendously different because of the situation of the world at the time.
Correct.
How were you? And I know that social ads were a part of this too, and that you utilized Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. Is that right?
Correct. We used Facebook. So all Meta products, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. We even did a little bit on YouTube. So we used some Google ads as well, just to kind of generate awareness.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting over which platforms perform best, because it's honestly based on the job titles that we were recruiting for.
Interesting. Because I would have thought, just because of the nature of LinkedIn and careers, that that would do really well. Did you, I would love to learn, like, what was the breakdown? Like, where did you see success and what was like the cost per applicant? I guess, was that like your end conversion goal, was applications?
Our end goal was definitely applications, but because they varied, it's totally counterintuitive from what I preach, but we kind of had a set budget from the client of, hey, this is what we would have went to our local TV station to buy ads with. What can you do for us on digital? So, you know, my whole thing with my agency is we focus on marketing you can measure. So we want to take that, you know, X amount of dollars that you have put aside, and we want to actually show you the results. Because different platforms, I don't know, I probably have a cost per lead for you somewhere. I don't have it currently in the application broken down in our case study, but what I can tell you is that we focused on impressions, we focused on applications that were received from those impressions, and cost per click. So okay. that varied. But I would say entry level positions, Facebook was golden. We were great. It was just pushing it out to the masses. Facebook was mostly meant for within a certain radius of their locations. So within New York State, specifically going around those locations, LinkedIn was meant more for flipping it on its head, targeting based on job titles, seniority levels, education, really the targeting that isn't possible on Facebook.
Yeah, LinkedIn's gem for that.
Incredible, incredible tool. And we even got into using LinkedIn Recruiter because from our perspective, we can use lead forms, we can get people into our email sequence, we can do all these fun, fancy things. But at the end of the day, we need that human-to-human connection. So what we recommended to the client was to actually sign up for LinkedIn Recruiter. And once we found the applicants, to use LinkedIn to communicate with them and to start reaching out to the people that we were doing this for.
So I just want to like back up a second. So you had this website that you were driving people to where you had like a simple, easy starting application, which was limited, right? It was name, like contact information, basically. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay. And then would you utilize then LinkedIn Recruiter? Then you have that information. Those people are going into, they're being contacted by a recruiter.
Correct.
Okay. And then how was the LinkedIn aspect, LinkedIn Recruiter connected? Was it with those people that were filling out the forms or were they being sent emails or both?
Both.
Okay.
We did this in stages, so I apologize. I'll back up a little bit. So our first goal was how do we drive traffic to this? Where do we see, you know, in terms of landing page performance, is there a certain section that nobody's even reading? Is there buttons that people are clicking that don't work or something? So we did a lot of A/B testing. So we got it down to a science in terms of the traffic is flowing. And then from traffic, we look at conversions. Is the landing page converting? When both of those aligned, and thankfully they did pretty quickly, somebody would do that kind of pre-application. They'd get that thank you email, which included a whole video from a recruiter, like, thank you. Please continue your application. We welcome talking with you, blah, blah, blah. So then from there, that's when we made the connection to their HR software that they couldn't break away from. So that was the connection to, hey, now that you have 20 to 30 minutes to fill out the full application, please go ahead and do that. So they would go on, complete that application. But in the meantime, their recruitment staff could look up those people. They could call them. They would have the tools to start working that applicant before they completed that lengthy process to go through.
Smart. Very smart. Okay. Got it. That little extra step of that personalized touch of that email is gold. Do you have like the conversion numbers of people who went from first time applicant, like all the way through the process?
We have email rates because obviously we didn't have access to the HR software.
Right.
Totally.
Yep.
It's all I know is that we had a 73.8% open rate for that initial email. Maybe. So that's quite high. I mean, average.
Yeah, that's very high.
We would have been happy with like 20%, but you know, 73, we're celebrating. And then the click-through rate from that email with that personalized message from the head of HR, essentially, that was 37.2%. So quite awesome. A high click-through rate. So meaning yeah. that people liked what they saw, they wanted to complete that full application. And those who didn't, but maybe the first line HR staff that saw they were kind of good, they could then go on LinkedIn, do that reach out, et cetera. But as this campaign progressed, we launched different types of ads. We were like, okay, we know the traffic ads are working, but why can't we just go and I'll back up a little bit here. When we filmed content, we created a content bank for this organization to use for like years to come. So we in-depth, like interviewed, you know, a special education teacher, tell us about your job, tell us about this. So what we ended up with were actually three separate campaigns. We had one that was like the main overview, who the organization is, who do they serve, how do they help? The second campaign was actually very specific for positions. So it would be like, this organization is recruiting for, and then it'd be like, hi, my name's Sarah and I am a special education teacher. And then we had like the COVID response thing. We had just buckets of content that we would pull from, which allowed us as marketers to go crazy with ads to really, if we knew that endpoint of that funnel, the only thing that would change is the entry point. What is the first ad has to make them get through and speak to them? So we said, okay, if we have this content, let's take like one specifically for a special education teacher. Let's go on LinkedIn, target special education teachers based on experience level, skill set level. We went through the gamut of the back end of LinkedIn. And if we show them that video, do we necessarily have to get them to the website, or can we start the application process right natively on LinkedIn?
Oh, yeah.
So we did that. And then we used a little tool that I love called Zapier to jump them ahead of the line and basically said, what if we just ran a test and pushed these people ahead and then made that connection between the lead, quote unquote, to the recruiter? And it worked. So for the very, if you kind of consider a recruitment campaign like a high ticket item, how do you skip the line? How do you jump? And at the end of the day, it's human connection, person selling. So
absolutely,
we just try to handhold them and make that connection before they dropped off. We wanted to eliminate the number of clicks they had to get through before they made the connection.
That's awesome. Okay. I love that. And I want to go back to a couple things. One, Zapier, I don't even technically know what the right way to say it is, but it's a if this, then that tool. So it connects literally most platforms online to one another. So an example with ads might be if they fill out a LinkedIn ad, then they get this email from somebody, or it makes a note in this CRM or blank, whatever that is. So in this case, you're saying a specific ad on LinkedIn that was targeted to a certain job title.
Correct.
Somebody, were they filling out a form on LinkedIn or an application?
Yeah, we're trying to move the mini app to the form, to the ad itself rather.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So the ad itself was like filling out a mini application on LinkedIn.
Correct.
Okay. And then that would then create a zap too. And then what was the end zap connecting them to the person?
Oh my gosh, it was insane what we did. A Google Sheet was automatically filled out. That Google Sheet was then sent with a notification to the recruiter so then they can look at that sheet and do their thing. Then it was also put into the email marketing system, which at the time we were using MailChimp. Nowadays, if we had to do this again, I would look at different email softwares like talked about earlier to see if there was like a more of a CRM component within an email software. But obviously being a nonprofit, they'd want to invest in all these fancy tools. So we tried to do this as basic and accessible as possible.
Zapier can work wonders.
That's exactly what we did. And then that recruiter would get an email notification to say, hi there, you have a new applicant to take a look at. Please take a look at this. And it auto-filled everything from the form. And then on the back end, on my end, they would join a certain sequence from an intro to a recruiter. And then the second email was learn more about our open positions, learn more about our organization. Did you already complete a full application? Click here. Do you want to schedule a call one-on-one with a recruiter? Click here. So it really tried to make it a very cohesive, easy user experience to join a wonderful organization, really.
So cool. I love it. I don't think we have not had a recruiting, career recruiting digital case study on the show before, but hiring great talent is something that everyone has a need for. And so thank you so much for breaking this down, and you did it with the challenge. I don't know, challenge and I mean, also probably immense need at the time, right? During COVID for them, but what an incredible project and case study. Francesca, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Happy to do so. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And before we wrap, I want to ask you two ask and receive questions. One is, what is one thing that you would like to ask for help or support on?
Oh gosh, I'll make this like two things. The first one is, being that we want to connect with, you know, so many nonprofits, having these certifications as a woman-owned business, there's organizations out there that have to fulfill this need. They have to use their grant money on woman-owned small businesses. One would be like, help us connect with these people. Who are you guys out there in the universe? Introduce yourselves. Let us know what types of content. How can we help you, essentially? That's my first ask. The second one would be, we ourselves are on the hunt for a great CRM tool. and we're geeking out over certain like tech that's out there in the marketplace. But it's funny because some of the tools that we actually use for our nonprofit clients, we wish we could use for us.
I know.
Right? Like, there's such great software out there. And I'm like, guys, if you just change the use a little bit.
I know.
So we're really on the hunt currently ourselves as an agency for a great CRM to use.
I love it. Ditto. Ditto on that. Contact both of us. Let us know who you are. And then, Francesca, lastly, where can listeners connect with you?
Absolutely. So take a look at our website. It's www.fmncreative.com. Connect with us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. And feel free to get in touch. I'll give you my email, Dana. Feel free to put it out in your show notes.
Amazing. Thank you so much for all that you do. Yeah, I just love seeing all the new stuff that you come out with and can't wait to collaborate more.
Thanks so much. We are bound to work together one day. We will make it happen.
Yes, we will. Awesome. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening. Can you tell I love talking all things digital? To make this show better, I'd be so grateful for your feedback. Leave a review, take a screenshot of this episode, share it on Instagram stories, and tag Positive Equation with one E so I can reshare and connect with you.